Welcome to Examine Life on KKRN Bella Vista in Round Mountain 88.5.
I'm Steve.
I'm Pat.
Plato said that the unexamined life is not worth living. So on the first and third Monday of each month, we'll examine aspects of life and human nature.
Tonight we're going to examine minimum wage and self-reliance. It's going to have a little bit different take on it. Everyone's in support of minimum wage for a sustainable income. However, there is a philosophical angle to that that we want to discuss outside of politics.
We want to talk about self-reliance and what that involves. And most people like to believe that they're self-reliant, but we really need to think about what that means, being self-reliant. And we also need to think about the unintended consequence of any hard set line.
And paying your own way is a little bit different than self-reliant. We all have free will. We all have the ability to choose. And if you choose not to get an education and not to get skills, then you usually come into the workforce as minimum wage.
And a few years ago, I started a business late in life. I did not have a lot of resources, and I put everything financially that I had into starting that business in the hopes that it would someday generate a retirement. And as a business owner, you know, I feel like I should have the right to decide how much a person is worth to my company, and also how much I can afford to sustain. Because again, I started this with my own resources, which were very slim, and I wanted it to continue. And I think it's a valuable business, and so sometimes I may not be able to pay the amount that someone else arbitrarily sets.
And we need to look at our lives as choices. And we make choices every day that affect our job or our income. And if you're going to select to work minimum wage, regardless of what that job is, there are a lot of jobs that cover minimum wage. In California, the minimum wage, in fact, July 1st, goes to $9 an hour. And we're seeing a little bit of impact of that already in California.
California is, I believe, number four on the minimum wage list, or among a group of four that
states
are among the highest. And it also, surprisingly enough, has one of the, I think, the second highest unemployment rate.
Well, statistically, it's been proven that when employers have to pay more, 10% increase in minimum wage reduces employment by 2%. And that's mostly teenagers and elderly who hold those minimum wage jobs.
Now, most people probably just want to get through the day and be able to eat and have their recreation and pay their rent. I tend to look at things from a perspective of the meaning of life. And, you know, a lot of the struggles that we go through affect our meaning in our life. They define what we are. And if we have every piece of adversity handled for us in a way that protects us completely from all of the hazards of life, then how do we get to show who and what we are?
Well, it goes back to, if you make a good choice that's right for you, then that can lead to pride of accomplishment and self-worth. And a minimum wage job can be that if you're going to work hard and prove to that employer that you're worth something. You're trying to make his business successful.
But if the amount that he has to pay you is arbitrarily set, then your personal value is actually decided by someone else. And I'm uncomfortable with that thought. I think people should try to set their own personal value.
This is true. And I think as we talk about minimum wage, the knee-jerk reaction is it's good for me, or it's good for those that are working at minimum wage because it's a sustainable income. But minimum wage was never intended to be that. It was to help people get by when they didn't have training or skills, usually entry level out of high school. Now we have the elderly coming back into that workforce, but it never intended to be their sole source of income for the rest of their life.
And the two major phases of my own career, In both cases, I was paid much, much less than what I really needed to live the way I wanted to live, just in a basic sense. And so in both cases, I took on a second job, and I lived in less attractive housing, and I ate less expensive food. I just took on another job so that I could continue to do what I loved. And in both cases, I became good at what I did only because I loved it so much. And the jobs got better. People wanted to pay me more to do the work. And I think if you set your own kind of value that way, then your life has meaning and you get to discover who you are. But if you just go through life with your standards set for you, I guess my question is, what's the point? What was your life for?
Well, I think most people enter the minimum wage market as a stepping stone. This is my first job or my last job if you're elderly, and I need to get some skills or I need to get some money. And if I just need money, then it's just a job. If I need to get skills and I want to move on to a better job, then I need to show that employer that I'm worth more. And so I need to do that little extra. I need to do something without being told to do it. I need to get those skills that make the customer happy. If it's that drive-in customer, make sure that change is correct every single time so that you are showing that you take pride in your job, even though it's a minimum wage job.
Right. The tendency sometimes of working for someone else, if you're this kind of person, is to see things that need to be done and just expect that if it wasn't specifically outlined in your job, then someone else is responsible for it. I used to have an office manager that I worked with, and he always said that there's two kinds of people. You're walking along a hallway and you see a light bulb that's out, and one person says somebody needs to fix that, and another person says, where are the light bulbs?
Exactly. Take kids, for example. You have kids that in a neighborhood that are happy to stay home and watch television all day, and then you get the kid that wants to mow lawns or babysit or run errands, wash cars, do something to get extra money. And they might do recycling for the families in the immediate area so that they can earn money. That person has initiative and drive rather than the couch potato. And the couch potato is the person that's going to be content with working at minimum wage. And there may be an argument against paying them minimum wage to be lazy.
It's true. You know, when you are paid minimum wage and you consider that to be your lifelong career, then you're going to accept a certain amount of mediocrity in your own life. And you need to not do that. And I understand that minimum wage is not, in many cases, a livable wage. As it's currently set, but in many cities, $10 an hour is not going to be anywhere near enough to survive in that fashion. But again, by modifying my lifestyle and working two jobs during some of those periods when I was starting out again, I managed to make ends meet. We just didn't have the fun vacations that some of our neighbors had. We didn't have the fancy cars, and our house was small. I felt valuable because I was providing for my family and no one else set the rules for how much I should make. I did that by the quality of the work I did.
I don't think minimum wage is really about people in poverty because only 11% of workers would benefit are below the poverty line. So everyone thinks that minimum wage addresses poverty when in fact it does not. In fact, if anything, it's harmful. I want to take the voice of a minimum wage worker at this point. And my reaction is, yes, I want to raise, give me that $10.40 an hour or whatever minimum wage we're going to set. The poverty line right now is $15,080 for a full-time worker who's working at minimum wage. That's what they're making. And so that is below the poverty line. But only 9% of poor families work full-time. So they're not in this category. If you're a single parent with two kids, poverty line is $19,530. If I earn minimum wage at the new $10.10 an hour, I'm going to make $21,008 a year. I'll lose a lot of those benefits. I'll lose food stamps. I might lose the temporary assistance to needy families, or WIC, or housing vouchers, or Medicaid. I might lose these benefits because now I'm above that poverty line, and a lot of those get phased out with however much money you make. And that extra dollar an hour is not worth all those benefits.
So, in essence, a lot of people probably won't look for work if the minimum wage is the least amount that they can make. It's kind of what I hear you saying.
It's not going to benefit me to get a dollar an hour more in California. Okay, in another state, you're still, whatever your wage is now, for you to go to $10.10 an hour, you're going to make above the poverty line, and you're going to no longer have these benefits. Those benefits amount to more than that so many dollars an hour in the long haul. And because chances are you're not working 40 hours a week.
And so what has been the motivation of the people really pushing hard for the minimum wage? Because if you look around the country, $10 an hour in some states would probably be a pretty fat wage, or especially some regions of certain states would probably be a pretty fat wage. But in some other states and metropolitan areas, it's going to be hardly anything. So the question becomes, why should there be such a blanket federal minimum wage when it's not going to address everybody equally?
And regionally, there are differences in the workforce, in the jobs available, and if you raise the minimum wage, you reduce the number of jobs available at minimum wage, because they'll continue to have other workers work more hours so they don't have to hire another employee and pay that minimum wage that's gone up 40% or 30% or whatever that percentage is. It's easier to pay your existing employees just 10% more.
And as having been both an employee and an employer, I can tell you that when I put in maybe more effort than the person who's working next to me, and so I get a raise and they don't get a raise and they're still working at whatever their minimum wage is or their wage, then when the time comes that their wage goes up because of an artificially set line, then me as an employee who really puts a lot more in, or maybe bothered to get another degree or bothered to make myself more valuable, I'm going to want more money. Because it's the wage is not just about a livable wage, it's about recognizing your efforts. And so that person, when you increase the lower person's wage to the minimum wage, that other person who's worked hard to be valuable is going to want more money, so their value is still being recognized. So in the end, they make more money, the minimum wage person makes more money, and pretty soon the person who's just gotten the bump from to the minimum is now going to be unhappy again because Joe over there is making still the same amount more than me than he was before.
And right now the national minimum is $7.25, and if they take it to $10.10, that's 40% more income. And I'm sure there's a lot of states that's not the minimum. But even if it's a 20% more, that contributes to inflation, because if you're a part of a labor union, you're going to go to them and say, you know, the whole rest of the country just got a 20% raise at minimum wage. I'm worth more than that. I want 10 or 20% more.
And as those wages go up, then the business owners, and that includes people that own grocery stores and all kinds of consumer-related businesses, are going to have to raise their prices. I don't see how you can increase your payroll costs, which is usually your highest cost, and not raise your prices.
This is true. And if, as an employer, I can hire someone who is skilled with training at $12 an hour, which is just 20% above that minimum wage, why would I pay 40% more for an unskilled laborer at $10 an hour?
Right. In my business, the people we hire for attitude, and then we train them usually in most cases. And so we don't pay anyone minimum wage because they're more valuable than that. And our income is fixed because of the nature of our business. Our prices are fixed. We can't raise them. But we get so much value out of our employees that they're worth what we pay them. And I think people, individuals, need to start looking at how can I become more valuable. And frankly, if you don't like your boss, I can say that in the past, I have worked for people that maybe I didn't share their vision, I didn't think they had a good company, or I just didn't like the boss. So I just worked twice as hard and made myself so valuable to that employer so that when I left, he really felt it.
We don't like employees like you. But if you do make yourself valuable to a company, chances are you're going to get an increase in pay because that employer knows to hire someone and have to train them to know what you know. You can't train initiative into someone. So that person, that existing employee who takes the initiative and changes that light bulb rather than go and complain to somebody else, then they are, of course, we have to worry about OSHA, but in any event, the...
And some light bulbs, you have to worry about a hazmat condition.
Yeah, but regardless of all those conditions, that existing employee who has initiative, who makes the customer happy, he is worth more to you. So you should give them the increase in pay on their next review rather than try and hire that minimum wage employee and try and train them and give them initiative that you can't give someone.
That's right. If you have a plumbing job that needs to be done and the plumber wants you to pay full price for this man to come out who is, you know, isn't that skilled. And so he has to. You have to have other people come out and do some of the job. Would you want to pay them the full price if they weren't fully skilled and you had to add another person to do the skilled part of the job? And you don't. So when you are an employer, arbitrarily setting the wages for that employer means that they may have to allow an employee to do less than their best work but still have to pay them as though they're doing their best work.
And I understand the employee's idea of, I want that additional pay. But the way our income tax structure is, if you get a $2 raise, by time you get payroll taxes and increased what they call FICA, FUTA, all these other deductions from your paycheck, you're going to be lucky to see 20 or 30 cents an hour from that. And your employer's additional cost, he has to match those payroll withholding taxes, FICA, FUTA, all those other little things on the pay stub, that he is not going to want to hire more minimum wage people. And you're not going to benefit if you're that minimum wage worker.
There is a great cost. Every employee, on average, has about a $2 an hour cost above whatever you're paying them to the employer. And again, I know some of this sounds kind of heartless and like I don't care, but I really believe that in the meaning of life and in what makes life important, when you watch a movie that Hollywood makes, what makes you feel really, really good for the protagonist in the movie, for the star? Is it when somebody gives them something or makes life easier for them, or is it when they overcome insurmountable odds and succeeds in spite of everything that's put in their path? And I think I know the answer to that.
Are we ready for a break?
We're ready for a break. This is Examine Life on KKRN 88.5 FM in Bella Vista at Round Mountain. Pat and I are going to take a little break, and we'll be back. Join Shane, Local Motion, on Fridays at noon for a taste of music by local talent.
Like to peek behind the curtain? Join Doug Bennett on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. for Unspun, Experiment in Truth Telling.
for your listening enjoyment of obscure and independent music. Tune in on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. to hear Don Fennell's Lost and Found. Currently, you're listening to Examine Life with Pat and Steve on KKRN 88.5, Bella Vista in Round Mountain.
You're listening to Examine Life on KKRN in Bella Vista in Round Mountain at 88.5 FM. Today we are discussing minimum wage and the personal impact on that. And the one thing I want to bring up is most of us have a tendency to think of corporate America as a primary employer in this country, and that we have to force corporate America to do the right thing. By and large, small businesses are a large majority of the employers. The small business owner that has 2 to 25 employees, he's not usually a large corporation. His margin of profit is not the same as, you know, one of the big companies that you hear of that are sales. It's the guy that's down the street who's trying to make ends meet as well as meet those minimum standards.
And when I started my business, we borrowed money to start it against assets that we had, which were not that great. And it was well over a year before we even managed to pay ourselves, much less begin to pay off what we had borrowed to do the business. And sometimes you need to think about your boss when you see your boss and he owns the business. Don't assume that he's just loaded and has plenty of money to pay whatever's needed. Sometimes it may be a long time before he even starts to recoup the cost. I started late in life, and my business is probably not going to produce a retirement, but it's a labor of love also, so hopefully it'll at least work out that way. But I think you need to consider that if you're working for a small business, things aren't as lucrative for the owner as you might think.
And I know a lot of small businesses that are struggling to stay in business. Those owners are not taking the income you might think they are, trying to make sure the employee wages are covered every month in the bank account. So all of these small businesses that you've seen have gone out of business, they struggled long before they closed the doors to try and make sure their employees were paid every month.
That's right. And if you really and truly believe that you're working for an employer that just could care less and and he's not being, or he or she is not being fair about wages or work or anything else, I wouldn't continue to work for that kind of person. And I know in this environment, people think, well, you got to have a job. But, you know, I've been in very destitute situations, and you always come out of it. And especially if you're young and making minimum wage, you have your whole life ahead of you. Dream about a little more than making minimum wage.
Corporate America has a tendency to set these standards, and it's very impersonal. You're hiring, your wage, and if you want to be valued for the work you do, quit corporate America. Go to work for the small business where you can talk to the boss and tell him, okay, I'm worth X because I'm doing X, Y, and Z, or I'm helping to keep you in business. Oftentimes, we just have that stigma of corporate America doesn't care, and we have to force them to do what's right, and I understand that.
I think if we, on a kind of a different tack, when it comes to the giant companies and we all think about how big they are and how much profit they make, I truly believe in my heart, philosophically, that if we were managed to put a firewall between all business and government, I think big business would never get as big or as greedy as they are, because they would have to take chances. And right now, they don't have to.
And I want to also talk about the if you have a fulfilling job, and most minimum wage jobs are not all that fulfilling, and it might keep you that idea of living in the basement with mom and dad and paying for your necessities, but you're not going to be able to marry and raise a family on minimum wage. You have got to look that in right in the eye and say, I either need to go back to school and get skills or a new education, on the job training, something. You are not going to live your whole life on minimum wage.
My first job that I truly loved in back in the 70s, that actually meant that they could legally pay me below minimum wage by 10 cents. It was a special dispensation for the kind of nursing that I worked in. And again, I took on a second job so that I could do that kind of work, because it turned out that I really liked it. And then later, I got a slightly higher paying job with in the same industry but in a different venue. But it still wasn't enough. I was becoming a father, so I had to go to school. So I went to school full-time. I worked full-time. I had to do a kind of a internship type of thing in the local hospital where I worked. But you do all of that to build a life. And the sense of accomplishment, when you accomplish something against all odds, you can't take that to the bank. There's just, the banks aren't big enough to hold that.
And it's just part of the setting of a goal. And that's going back to school, that sense of confidence it gives you to accomplish that goal gives you independence that is undefinable. It gives you a sense of freedom. You're free from family, government, that grinding job that you hated. It gives you the freedom to pick a choice, make a choice that you want to make, possibly in a field that's different from where you came from that was a minimum job field. Minimum wage job field.
Right. And if I can offer any advice from a life that's getting pretty long in the tooth, find something that you love to do. I say it over and over again to people. Find something that you love to do. Don't think too much about the money, because if you love doing it, you'll do it so well that people will hunt you down and offer you more money to do it, because you do it better than anyone else.
And paying your own way means sustaining your own lifestyle. If you're happy living in a one-bedroom apartment, that's wonderful. If you can stretch your minimum wage job to do that, that's fantastic. But how are you going to do that and get that new car or get the new bike or whatever it is your recreational lifestyle is? How are you going to achieve those goals if you're going to stay in a minimum wage job?
And there's no motivator like not being able to pay the rent or not being able to have the food that you want. But that's a good motivator. I truly believe adversity is what brings out what we are and is also the biggest source of our true happiness, because with adversity, you discover who you are and what your strengths are, and you will have failures along the way. You just don't let them stop you. You find ways around them. And when you, every little victory that you have, that's what makes you feel good. If anything is given to you or provided for you, you may have some brief feeling of, yeah, I got that for free, so I'm special. But in the end, it's what you do that makes you truly happy.
And when you have self-worth and you have that confidence and you accomplish things, it proves that you're in control of your life. And if you're dependent upon a minimum wage job, then you're really not in control of your life. You're relying on the government to set a minimum wage. You're relying on that corporation to keep so many jobs open at minimum wage so that you retain a job. And people get fired from minimum wage jobs just like they do any other job.
And if you haven't developed any new skills, the minimum wage jobs are going to be the most have the most numerous number of applicants. And if you've not developed any new skills or made yourself more valuable, it's going to be that much harder for you to get that next job.
And as that minimum wage goes up, they are going to pick the cream of the crop. Rather than just take anybody who applies, they will wait and wait and wait and have other workers work longer hours while they wait for somebody who they think is worth that $3 extra an hour or $2 extra an hour when that minimum wage did go up.
Just, I think all of us need to consider dreaming a little bigger than just having a job and making ends meet. I just think getting through life personally is not enough. It kind of gives me the feeling of what was the point? If you're born, you go to school, you get a job, you have a wage set for you, you take your vacations, you go home, you buy your house, you retire and you die. What's the point? Dream a little bit. Do the extra thing. Get somebody to smile. When a customer comes in that does not like anyone today and wants to be angry, make them your best friend. I've failed at that sometimes. I succeeded at it sometimes. And when I succeed, it far overcomes the feeling of having failed at it. And do it for yourself. Don't do it for the boss if you don't like him. Don't do it for the wage that you're getting. Do it to say, I made that person my best friend and they were having a lousy day.
And you can do that no matter what job you're in. If you're in a minimum wage job, you're in a service job, you're in a professional company, you can accomplish that on a day-to-day basis. How many times have you called in to complain to somebody answering the phone, and they may very well be making minimum wage, who knows, but you're taking your frustration out on them, and they say, thank you, I hope I helped you solve your problem. It just makes you feel bad that you chewed them out, and I'm sure they're thinking, you know, you're a putz. But they take pride in that ability to say, you know, thank you, I hope that I helped you in some way today.
And even if your boss is all about profit, and again, I don't think that's my place to say whether that's right or wrong, but if your boss is all about profit and you do those extra things and you make his customers want to come back, he's going to see the value or she's going to see the value and they're going to want to pay you more to keep you because you can't train a person to have that kind of attitude.
That's right. Attitude is everything in life. And if you have the right attitude, it doesn't matter what job you're in, you're going to succeed. And if you have any drive or ambition, you're not going to stay in a minimum wage job very long anyway.
No, you won't stay in any job. If you are truly happy, living in mediocre conditions and $10 enough is enough for you, sooner or later it will not be enough for a whole variety of reasons. And when it's not enough, then what are you going to do? So I'm a big believer in finding the work that you truly enjoy. And if it doesn't pay enough in the beginning, continue to do it and supplement your income with another job that you may not like as much, with the idea that eventually when you become the best at what you do and you love it as much as you do, people will come to you. In my experience, that's what happens. People will come to you. And in some cases, you won't have to look for your next job. They'll headhunt for you because they see the passion you put into it. And they want that so they can make their company succeed.
And there are a lot of people that are, say, at their end of their careers or they're in a middle of a career change where maybe mom is, kids have gone back to school and she's coming back into the workforce and there's not a lot of jobs available. She knows that's a temporary position and she's only getting back her skills, her interpersonal communication back up to speed. The same with the elderly who may, this may be just to supplement their income. They know that this minimum wage job is there for a purpose. It's not intended to be their end-all job, and it's not going to sustain them for all elements in life.
Getting back to a point that Pat made earlier about the fact that you could be fired at any point, I think some people really want to have this minimum wage set because they want to have some kind of security that comes from being guaranteed a certain amount of money. There just are no guarantees in life. You could lose that job at any time. The company could go broke. The boss could just be a dislikable guy and not like you and want to get rid of you. There's all kinds of reasons why there is no such thing as security. So with that in mind, dream big. If you got to take a chance, you know, go for your dreams. In the end, in most circumstances, you're going to win. And if you do lose some of the time, as I said, there are no guarantees. So don't go through life thinking there's some kind of a security blanket that's going to protect you.
Minimum wage was created in 1938 as a means when employers had few jobs and many, many, many applicants, and they would not pay a decent wage. And in the environment that we have today, we have a similar environment. We have a lot of people looking for work. And if that minimum wage is set at $10 or $10 an hour, what they're going to do is those people that need the job the most with the least skills are the ones that are not going to get the job, because there are so many elderly people who need income who have skills because they've worked all their lives, or there's people rotating in their lives a change that they're just coming back into the market from a long absence. They're going to have skills and they're going to take those jobs first. They're going to take those minimum wage jobs until they find a better job.
So always be on the aggressive about developing your skills and how can I make this customer's life better today? How can I be more valuable to the man or woman that started this business and owns it and depends on it for their livelihood? How can I increase my own personal skills? How can I accomplish things today to make me feel good about myself, to show that I'm a better person than what someone may think I am? As I said, dream big. Make it more than just about the job and the wage. That's such a bland way to live your life.
And again, I say that the kids coming out of high school are the ones most likely to get stuck with minimum wage jobs because there are not a lot of jobs available except minimum wage jobs, and that's not sustainable. I don't care what if they say $10 an hour is a sustainable income, it really isn't. Inflation will erode that. And they're not going to increase the minimum wage every 5 years or 10 years. And do you really want to wait that long for a raise?
Yeah.
If you've got, you're going to increase your skills, go back to school. Get some training. Do something that will make you more valuable. I know it's really tough in the job market right now, but I'm not so sure that raising the minimum wage is the answer. Based on personal experience, that's not always the answer, and you get insulted when you've been working at what you didn't even know was minimum wage, and the minimum wage goes up, and you get a raise, and everybody's talking about, oh, how lucky you are, and you finally realize, my gosh, I've been working for minimum wage all this time?
Yeah.
You know, that's not fair.
And, always consider the option of striking out on your own. There are many cities and counties and states that have all sorts of programs because they want people to try to start businesses of their own. There are very friendly loans that some places offer. Small business oftentimes will offer loans. Build your assets and consider if you think that the company you work for, if you like the concept of their business or you like that field but you don't like the way they do it, consider striking out on your own and seeing if you can do it a better way. One of my goals in starting our business was that I believed, because of what we'd done throughout the years, that you could have a business that would actually pay you to do good things for people, to be kind and to be helpful and to take good care of patients in our case. And it turns out that you can. It's not easy. But on the other hand, you can change a lot of lives. And consider your daily work in that kind of light, and consider a business you might start in that kind of light. Raise the bar beyond just making money. Think about what you want to do in life and what's important to you. And don't be afraid, especially if you're young, don't be afraid to take chances.
And historically, we have found trying to make corporate America do the right thing, passing laws seldom works, because corporate America has a way of getting around whatever that law is, be it limiting salaries or compensation in some way. They find some other manner. They have tax people and lawyers on staff to find ways to get around all the new federal regulations. So trying to force corporate America to do the right thing by increasing the minimum wage is not the answer. We need to have those people say, no, I'm not going to take that job, and take a job somewhere else that may be just minimum wage, but it's not corporate America.
And again, that's where self-reliance comes in. Do not rely on a government or even an employer to give your life the quality that you want. Especially don't rely on them to determine your personal value. You determine that yourself. You decide what you're worth, and you work hard to make yourself worth that. And if they don't appreciate it, I'll guarantee you there are others that will.
And again, if no one takes those jobs that corporate America is offering at minimum wage, then they will have to increase the price to get you. The supply and demand works in labor as well as it does in all other products in the market.
So you're listening to Examine Life on KKRN 88.5 FM in Bella Vista at Round Mountain. This is Steve.
I'm Pat. We're going to take a little break.
Join Shane, Local Motion, on Fridays at noon for a taste of music by local talent.
Like to peek behind the curtain? Join Doug Bennett on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. for Unspun, Experiment in Truth Telling.
For your listening enjoyment of obscure and independent music, tune in on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. to hear Don Fennell's Lost and Found. Currently, you're listening to Examine Life with Pat and Steve on KKRN 88.5, Bella Vista in Round Mountain.
Hi, you're listening to Pat and Steve on Examine Life, and we're talking about minimum wage and self-reliance and not necessarily arguments against minimum wage, but things that we need to think about the impacting of that minimum wage increase. And I want to go back to talking about in 1968, we had the highest minimum wage in compared to inflation. So in today's dollars, for an example, it would be $10.60 today. And in 1968, when the minimum wage went up, it was basically about $275 a month is what people were making. And that was an entry-level job. It was not sustaining a family. $275 even in 1968 wasn't very much money. But when the minimum wage went up, it was not any more beneficial. People, yes, they have to spend those dollars so they spur the local economy. But it's for basics. They still need shoes, they still need a coat. But you cannot sustain a family on a minimum wage. I don't care what level you are as far as that dollar value is in society. It is still not sustainable for a family.
So still, if those people who have those minimum wage jobs, if they just truly take every spare cent and don't save anything, which is completely irresponsible, and they put it back into the local economy, if you think about it, the local economy is full of businesses who've had to increase what they pay unskilled labor, so their costs go up, so their prices go up, so the extra money that goes into the community just comes right back out again.
Unfortunately, minimum wage workers do not have excess spendable income to put in a savings account or a 401k type of plan. That usually comes later in life when you're making much more money. But again, the dollars that they spend in the local economy is basic needs dollars. It's not going to be buying a kayak or an automobile or a washing machine that they say stimulates the economy. It really doesn't. They need basics.
And I kind of beg to differ with that first point. I knew a nurse one time who I was, she was an older British lady, and I was kind of new to being a nurse's aide. And me and a friend were over visiting her at her house, and her niece was there. And her niece was making fun of her because she folded and reused her aluminum foil. And she said, "The fact that I fold and reuse my aluminum foil is why I was able to help your mother put you through college." And so, in fact, I just want to say as a matter of principle, they do have the extra money, but it's in the form of putting pennies in a cookie jar until you have 20 bucks and you take it to the bank. So I think it's important, and I didn't have this philosophy, so I spent an early part of my life in debt a lot because I didn't save. If you have 5 cents and you put it in a cookie jar, that is saving. And you can do that. And over time, it really builds.
It does. And I can attribute to this with coupon savings. That coupon money you get going to the grocery store, if you turn around and take that, whatever it turned out to be, that $3, and you take that $3 and put it in that cookie jar, then you eventually get to do either go on vacation, go to the movies, or buy something else. But it's not going to sustain the family. Minimum wage is primarily intended for the individual who is only taking care of themselves, and they may still live at home. They may be four of them living together in an apartment, but it is never going to be sustainable. No matter, the economy is always going to have some sort of inflation. Even right now, they say there is no inflation. You go to the grocery store and there has been inflation in the last 5 years on every single thing that's been sold there. So the minimum wage is not going to cover that uninflation that's going on habitually. So you're never going to gain ground. You have got to change jobs. You have got to get skills to get that additional income based on your skills.
And that's part of the Bill of Rights talking about the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't guarantee happiness. It guarantees that it's going to try to clear the way for you to pursue happiness. Pursue indicates running and moving towards something and working for it, not in having it provided for you.
And again, I think the going back to the savings aspect of that, how can anyone who's making minimum wage, unless they're living at home with mom and dad or with someone else that's supporting them, you're not going to be able to save. It's just impossible if you're living on your own and making minimum wage. You have got to have more skills, more education, because otherwise you're going to be stuck in this rut forever.
And I think you need to do both, because as you progress in your life, those little pennies and nickels and quarters that you do save up, I know a young woman out in Ohio who discovered that and scrimps and saves and is trying to build a new life and has discovered that all of those little pennies count, because, you know, your pleasures grow with your income, I assume. When my children were young, we didn't have a lot of extra pleasures. We chose to have a full-time mother at home, and that meant I had to work two jobs, and yet we had a pretty happy family. And later in life, they realized more the value of the dollar. And you look at all the people during the Depression that managed to get through it, and a lot of them had positive attitudes. The ones that I talk to now that lived through that, they had positive attitudes, and they did scrimp and save their little pennies and their nickels, and it got them through. They may not have had a trip to Disneyland every year, but they got through, and that is self-reliance. When you save the money against the times when you're going to need it rather than depending on some program to provide it for you.
And that savings, the housewife at home, the mother staying at home, is a luxury that is paid off in dividends with the success of your children. And that is a luxury, but it's one that is more valuable in time than in dollars.
Yes.
And most of those families don't live on minimum wage. They can't. There's no sustainable way that a family of three can live on minimum wage.
No. I when I lived on less than minimum wage, I was actually married during part of that time. And when I was single and living on minimum wage, the consideration was, do I move in with a bunch of other young people, or do I live in kind of shoddy houses by myself? I always chose to live on my own. But everybody always seemed to make it. They seemed to find a way. And I think that's again, what gives you the value. When you find a way, when you triumph, you feel good about yourself.
There are regions in the country that probably can sustain a family on minimum wage if it goes to $10.10. But if you're in a state that the minimum wage is already $9, $10 is not going to make you benefit so that you can stay in that job for 5 or 10 years. It's just not going to happen. It's not realistic to think you can work minimum wage your whole life.
No, and it's not fulfilling. If you're limited and you just will never be able to develop the skills, then I suppose your life is never going to have much to it, and you're always going to have two jobs, or you're always going to have to depend on someone else. But I don't think that's true of most people unless they're actually physically or in some other fashion handicapped. I think it's a matter of necessity being the mother of invention. If you're not ambitious, hunger will make you ambitious.
And most people overcome obstacles, if it's financial or it's housing or it's clothing. Even the homeless have a way of overcoming the problems that they have, and it's not based on minimum wage. And I don't think we should look to the government to support us.
I know that there's a lot of people out there, the majority of the country believes in this idea. All I can say is that from my perspective and what's given me a happy life, and I grew up in poverty, I spent a lot of my life in low income, and that is that there is a meaning to life, and you need to look for that, and you need to look for it inside of yourself, because that's the only place you're going to find it, is what you do for others and what you do against adversity. And that's where I'm coming from. It's not a political thing with me. It's the idea that life is more than just how much money you make in your job, regardless of your skill set or anything else.
You've been listening to Examine Life on KKRN Bella Vista in Round Mountain 88.5. This has been Steve and Pat, and we're on the first and third Mondays of each month.
The music will come on.
Next week, we hope to be talking. Our
next program.
Yeah, is actually in July. I think it's even the 4th of July weekend. And we might talk about patriotism.
That's what we'd like to talk about. What's the real meaning of patriotism? When is it important? Is it just a bunch of people waving flags? Does it mean something, again, from the perspective of life?